Hello, I'm Elizabeth, an obsessive backyard gardener who might be able to offer you a couple of tips.
And I'm Keith, a landscape consultant, and I'm also passionate about gardening.
The one thing we both have in common is
muddy boots.
Using garden edging in your garden is like putting a frame around a painting. The framework complements the plantings, defines the areas, and adds uniformity to the garden, giving it a neat and finished look. There are many different options for edging, depending on your garden design, construction constraints, and budget. So today, Keith and I are going to break down those options to help make the choice a little bit easier. Keith, traditional garden edging involved a spade and some muscle. And then, in the 80s, bricks and pavers became quite popular.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Yep. Absolutely. But the first one, that was obviously the most popular one, but yeah. A spade and muscle, yeah. Now that's starting to get a bit out of my reach now, particularly the muscle bit.
Oh, I'm sure that's not
all right. So I'm always looking for easier alternatives than going around with a spade cutting a sharp edge.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, in today's gardens, the edging is there, but it's not always visible.
No.
What do you currently use in your designs, and okay. Is it visible, or is it installed below the soil level, or do you have a combination?
Generally, no. I don't generally go for below the soil.
Okay.
And there's some good reasons for that. All right, so there's lots of methods to restrain the lawn from the garden, and it's just what's appropriate for the situation and the budget.
Yeah.
And what it's to be used for. In the case of a garden beside a lawn, as you said, a simple angled cut that a spade can make is all that's required to make that separation of the lawn from the garden. Simple maintenance that keeps one away from the other.
Okay.
I've seen and indeed used many over the years, both in my own gardens and in gardens I've designed. And let's just have a look at a few of them.
Yeah, let's. But I was just going to say, in some cases with raised edging, if you've got a small garden, can't that sort of visually shrink a small space?
Yeah,
so
it can.
Yeah, so that's why below ground might be a good idea. And also, if you're mowing, raised edging can be a bit of a pain, can't it?
Raised edging is a real pain, and and I've got both of those in my own backyard. Both those issues. Yeah. So when we're talking about a raised bed, I've got raised beds in my lawn.
Mm.
All right, so it's now
a garden. Garden.
Yeah, in the vegetable garden, raised vegetable garden. So I have to go around each and every one of those raised beds
with a
whippersnipper or a brush cutter and cut the growing grass up the side.
Yeah.
And then I get to mow it. Mm. But then, there's...
The positives outweigh the negatives, I guess.
Yeah, true. I mean, and it looks absolutely superb.
And also, if you've got a... it's part of the design where you have a sandstone, brick, rock wall, something like that along a path, and that looks fantastic. It complements the design.
It does.
Yep.
But then, you've got to sort of make it look the best that it can in terms of the presentation, and then that there is where the maintenance comes into it.
That's right. You've got to work the maintenance around it.
Absolutely. So in the old days, when I first started in this industry, one of the most popular edgings was actually concrete. And they were used mainly on commercial sites. And it was created by a machine that they used to put concrete in, and then they would drag it along and it would just extrude this concrete edge. That's
so
right.
So the machine would drag the edging
you would, along? No, you would drag the machine along by putting concrete into it, into a hopper, pushing it through, and then you would drag the machine along, and then that would just lay it, like basically lay an egg, like laying an egg, but it was an edge that it was laying.
Okay.
And the problem with those was that they didn't have expansion joints in them, so that when it got really, really hot or really, really cold, it cracked.
The ground would move.
Right? It would just crack.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there were other problems, which was the depth of the concrete. Some of it was too shallow, and then you get roots in underneath it and would lift, and it was just horrible.
So when did that go out of fashion?
That went out probably 35, 40 years ago.
Oh, yeah, because I don't think I've seen it. So then you went into what? What did you?
Well, the next thing that came along to restrain an edge, lawn from a garden was actually timber edges.
Okay.
And originally, when the price of timber was really, really cheap, they used to use merbau, which is a durable hardwood.
Yes.
And that was 20 mil thick and 50 mil deep, and they were anchored in the ground at that stage with pegs, wooden pegs, and then they'll nail to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with that was mower blades. When you were pushing a mower up against it, if you pushed over the mower, over the edge, the wheel dropped down, and the blade actually got hold, smashed into the edge, and just cut it to smithereens.
Oh God!
Okay. So you know that became a bit of, and then you had the brush cutter with the nylon. It really caused a lot of problems with it as well.
This is the Merbau specifically.
This is the Merbau.
Yeah, okay.
And then the elements got to it. You know, so you've got heat and cold, you've got wet and dry. Mm. And because timber is a natural thing, when it became waterlogged and then dried, it used to just pop out of the ground.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
So it was terrible. And then the worst thing to come after the Merbau was the cost benefits of treated pine, which was a shocker because it was full of knots. It would crack. It would break. It would just splinter. So it was an absolute pain in the bum.
Okay, so you've learnt a lot along the way.
We've come a long way,
and
absolutely.
You've ticked a lot of boxes and removed a lot of products.
Yep.
So now, what do you use in your garden? Because that's where we would start. Because obviously, you use what you would.
Okay.
The best thing.
Yeah. Okay. So my garden is a little bit different to a lot of gardens that I now design for edging.
Mm-hmm.
I have in my backyard a very vigorous grass, which is kikuyu, which will go down under the ground and come up in the garden, or it'll grow over the top and come into the garden that way. So what I've actually lined my garden restraining edge with is a brick paver. So it's an old pressed red brick, which you can buy cheaply today. You can buy 1,000 for about 240, 250 bucks, 1,000.
That's amazing.
And there's 4.1 bricks to the meter if they're all laid one behind the other.
Right.
So what I've done is I've marked out where my edge is going to go, and then I've dug down 150 mil with a spade or a trenching shovel is the easiest way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've gone and mixed up a mortar mix, which is sand and cement. So four parts brick sand to one part cement, mixed together, water, and then I put that in the trench, and then I've laid my bricks on top of that and just gently tapped them down with a rubber mallet, and then laid the next one butted up to it. So there's no mortar gap between it, like bricks. You see them bricks on a wall. They're all butter together, what's called soldier cores.
Okay. Oh.
And then that becomes the edge. So I've got 150 mil of depth of masonry that the grass doesn't go in
through.
Underneath.
Okay, fantastic.
And then I've got this brick edge now that sits on this dried mortar mix that you could drive a truck over.
Okay, so it's never going to go anywhere.
Never going to go anywhere.
Okay, well, that sounds like a bit of work, but it's worth it. It's a long-term gain. That's right. Okay, now let's talk about some of the other options apart from bricks, as these days there are so many. Now, I guess it really comes down to aesthetics and budget, correct?
Absolutely.
We've discussed the wood, but if we wanted to use wood these days, after all those dramas you had with Merbau, etc., what would you suggest would be the best thing to do as far as wood is concerned? Not use it?
Not use it. Absolutely.
Tick that one off.
No.
Okay. There's plenty of it, but okay, if you want something short term, you can use it, but otherwise it's going to be a pain.
You only want something short term. I don't know why, because it's a garden bed you're going to have forever.
Yeah. But otherwise, don't bother. Don't go near wood.
You go back to the old method of the spade and the labour.
Or there is plastic edging, which you probably wouldn't recommend, I'm sure.
I wouldn't recommend plastic edging.
But there is a lot of plastic that looks like timber these days. Mm-hmm. Apparently there's the walnut look, the mahogany look, and the jarrah look.
Yep. All those are available.
So that will last, but it's not necessarily I guess it is recyclable because you won't be taking it out because it'll last.
No.
But we're not recommending
it's become, it. That is becoming a very, very expensive.
Oh, is it really?
In fact, I priced, or my son priced to have a deck built with this recycled timber.
Mm.
Plastic timber, and it was nearly going to be a third of the cost more than the Merbau that they put down.
Ah,
so it's very, very,
very expensive.
Price restrictive.
All right, Then moving on, aluminium edging. That's like galvanized or oxy shield steel edging.
Yeah.
Which that now that has that the rust look without the rust effect.
That's right.
And you and I have been working on a bit of that, haven't we? In my garden,
mm-hmm.
whites make a really good oxy shield edging, and it's been working fantastically. If you like that rust look, which I do in our garden, I think it works really well. So that's another one, yeah. And it's not expensive.
No. So they all lock together with little lugs.
Yeah.
And then you've got pins that lock it into place, just knock it down into place.
And that's really, really easy to do.
And that's a great way of doing it. You know, there are options there. But most of my jobs today that I design, unless we have a situation where we've got someone with vigorous grass, I would generally go for the use of steel.
Okay.
Because it's a very, very economical way of doing
it. Okay, good. Yeah. Galvanized steel.
No, not even. No, okay. Just plain mild steel that just rusts. So it's there to do a job to restrain the lawn from the garden. It's not there to be a feature.
Mm.
It's just there to do a job.
Mm.
And you generally, I specify this on my jobs, that it's all bought in 6 metre lengths. So there's very, very little joining to be done, only those 6 metre lengths. And then in order to hold it into place, you can also buy what's called F16 starter bars, which is just like a rod of steel, and they're cut into 200 mil lengths and then welded onto the garden bed side of the steel edge and knocked down into the ground, and they're there forever.
Okay. Whereas you don't think the oxy-shields...
Oxy-shield
steel will... Oxy-shield's
fine, but, I mean, it's not as thick as this particular edge.
That's really tough.
And that's another point.
The other option, of course, are retaining walls, which are like stone, sleepers, sandstone, that sort of thing, which is more of a feature.
It is. And the thing with it, if you're going to use a sandstone is a soft stone.
Mm.
So you want to be very mindful about how you're going to be cutting the grass up against that with a brush cutter. If you're using the brush cutter with a horizontal cut, you'll cut into that sandstone.
Mm.
So you've got to use it up on its edge. So you're cutting down the same way that the sandstone is going into the ground.
All right.
But cut it that way.
But they do look amazing.
They look fantastic. What I am using on a couple of jobs at the moment where we have big differences where garden beds, the top of a garden might be to where the lawn is, we're using what's called one product called Core 10.
Yeah.
And it can be in any height. The one we're using is 450 mil high,
mm-hmm.
and it is above the ground. So, therefore, you know, it's a feature all on its own.
Okay, so what is it? Is it
it's a called
stone?
Core 10 and it's steel.
It is steel. Oh,
it is rusted steel.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
it becomes a feature all on its own. Looks fantastic.
All right. And then the last one I was going to mention is timber sleepers always look good, but when would
they
you use those or not use those? Look at your face.
I don't think I've used a timber sleeper as an edge for 35, 40 years.
Like, why they're not,
just,
Keith?
They just don't appeal to me.
Okey
they go
dokes.
Grey, they're just straight lines, and it's not my cup of tea.
Okay, fair enough. Anyone out there who loves timber sleepers, don't be offended by that. Okay, so as you can see, there are loads of different options when it comes to edging, each with their own qualities dependent on the user. But as Keith has mentioned, when it comes to edging your garden, don't waste time and money choosing the cheap option. Save up and use something that will last.
That's the best advice.
Thank you for listening to Muddy Boots. For more information on today's podcast, please go to muddyboots.net.au, and happy gardening.